Let's read together Genesis chapter 9, verses 18 through 29. Here we have the account of Noah getting drunk after the flood and the different reactions of his three sons. A bad reaction on the part of Ham, but a good reaction on the part of Shem and Japheth. Genesis chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. All right, let's begin this last section of Genesis chapter 9 with some background notes. We see from verse 29 that Noah lived 950 years. That's a long lifetime, isn't it? How many of you here this morning would like to live 950 years? What? Everybody shaking their head? No? I wouldn't mind living 950 years as long as I stayed young and healthy for the first 940, right? You wouldn't want to go 600 and then start going downhill for the last 350 years with some aches and pains. Well, the first 600 years of Noah's life were before the flood. We see that in chapter 6 and verse 6. And the last 350 years of Noah's life were after the flood. As far as the record goes, all during this time, we have only one sad act on the part of Noah. It's recorded right here at the end of chapter 9. Noah got drunk and unintentionally exposed himself. Ham, Noah's youngest son, saw his father's nakedness and mocked him. Shem and Japheth, on the other hand, did not look on or mock their father's nakedness. Instead, they covered their father's nakedness by walking backwards with a covering and laying it on top of their sleeping father. When Noah awoke, he spoke a prophecy which contained both a blessing and a cursing. A blessing on Shem and Japheth, but a cursing on Canaan, the son of Ham. Note that the curse was not on Ham or on all Ham's descendants, but only on Canaan. That is the nation of Canaan that came from one of Ham's sons. So this scripture then has nothing to do with black people, as some Christians have wrongly interpreted this scripture in the past. What it has to do with is the judgment of the Canaanites, who were not black, by the way. Years later, the Israelites conquered Canaan and subjugated the Canaanites to forced labor in accordance with this prophecy. Other descendants of Canaan were subjected to slavery by descendants of Japheth, as verse 27 indicates. Now, why was the curse put just on the Canaanites and not on Ham, or at least all of Ham's descendants? Well, we can't say for sure, but a number of answers could be given here. One, it shows the mercy of God. The second answer is that Canaan, Ham's son, may have been involved with his father in the mocking of Noah. A third answer may be that God foresaw the great moral depravity of the Canaanites yet to come. And there may be other reasons as well. Notice in verse 26 how the blessing for Shem is stated. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. Now, how did this prophesied blessing come true? It was the line of Shem that God ordained as the messianic line for the coming incarnate Son of God. And verse 27, may God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem. The enlarging of Japheth is well documented in history. The world's greatest empires have come from Japheth, including the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, and the British Empire, and of course the United States of America as well. The world's greatest empires have come from Japheth. What does it mean in verse 27 that Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem? This does not mean that nations descending from Japheth would conquer nations descending from Shem. No. It means that blessing would come to Japheth because of Shem's blessing. And that certainly has come true because of the Messiah. Most of us here this morning are descendants of Japheth. We have found blessing in the tents of Shem because of Christ, who was born as a descendant of Shem. He was born in the line of Shem. And there's a lot more we could say here for background, but we need to move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal or teaching point number one, God is dishonored with moral impropriety. God is dishonored with moral impropriety. Now, you know what moral impropriety means, right? It means to be morally improper. Noah exhibited moral impropriety when he got drunk and uncovered himself. Ham exhibited moral impropriety when he sinned against his father. Ham was a believer, but he did something that was morally improper. Now, what was Ham's sin? Believe it or not, some of the commentators go so far as to suggest that Ham committed a homosexual act, or at least looked on his father with homosexual desires. Now, I don't think the text is saying that at all. Ham just happened to see his father in a naked, drunken state, and instead of honoring his father and covering up his father's nakedness, he mocked his father. And he tried to get his two older brothers to join in this scornful leering. Look at Dad. He's drunk and naked. He looks so stupid with no clothes on. Ham dishonored his father, and in doing so, he dishonored God. God is dishonored with moral impropriety. You know, there are a lot of ways in which we can exhibit moral impropriety today, especially in the family setting. Just as Noah let down his guard and dishonored God by getting drunk and exposing himself, so godly parents today can let down their guard as to what they watch on TV and what they talk about around the dinner table. Parents, let's watch out for moral indiscretion and impropriety. And like Ham, children of all ages can exhibit moral impropriety by dishonoring their parents. They can dishonor them by laughing at them and mocking them behind their backs. And I see some teenagers here this morning, so a word to the wise is sufficient, right? The Bible teaches that children are to honor their parents. To dishonor parents is to dishonor God. God is dishonored with moral impropriety. And doctrinal point number two, God is honored with moral integrity. God is honored with moral integrity. Shem and Japheth showed moral integrity when they covered their father's nakedness. They didn't even look. They walked backward with the covering. Because they honored their father, they honored God, and God blessed them as a result. God is honored by moral integrity. Are we characterized by moral integrity? God will bless us as he blessed Shem and Japheth if we show moral integrity. Moral integrity starts with our own personal lives, and it moves out in the way we deal with our family members, and then the way we interact with other people. The idea that you can have moral integrity in one area but not in another is a joke. You either have moral integrity or you don't have moral integrity. A government official, for example, cannot cheat on his wife with reference to the most sacred of vows and yet somehow be characterized by moral integrity in his official duties. It just doesn't work that way, folks. If you lack moral integrity in one area, it flows into other areas. It's a matter of character. Are we characterized by moral integrity? God is honored with moral integrity. Practical application. You are never immune to sin in this lifetime. You are never immune to sin in this lifetime. Back in chapter 6 and verse 9, we read that Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And we read more than once that Noah did all that God commanded him. Who would have ever thought that we would read this sad account of Noah's sinning in his old age? Listen, older, mature believers can sin. You are never immune to sin in this lifetime. Don't let down your guard. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." 1 Peter 5:8. There are many examples in Scripture of mature believers falling into sin when you would least expect it. Moses striking the rock in anger. David committing adultery and then planning a murder. Solomon turning to foreign gods. All of these believers were mature believers, yet they sinned. They were not immune to sin. And here we have Noah, a preacher of righteousness, the builder of the ark, a great man of faith. And yet, we see him after all of this getting drunk and uncovering himself, exposing himself. You see the practical application? You are never immune to sin in this lifetime. How many would agree with that practical application? You are never immune to sin in this lifetime. So we've got to watch it that we don't let down our guard, because Satan knows we're vulnerable here. And he's just waiting for an opportune moment. Even when we're in older age, mature believers, you've got to keep your guard up. Trust the Lord. Be walking in the Spirit, depending on the Lord's enablement to preserve us from a sudden catastrophic downfall. You are never immune to sin in this lifetime.